Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Jared Padalecki.
And this is Jensen Ackles.
And you're listening to Winchester Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Winchester Radio. Becky and I and the boys are happy you're here. We're going to be talking about red meat, the episode, not food. it's episode 17 of season 11. Written by Robert Behrens and Andrew Dobb, and directed by Nina Lopez Corrado, or Corrado, I think. Anyway, first-time director, I believe, for us, for Supernatural, and I think she did an awesome job, and a woman. Someday I won't feel obliged to point that out, but I am tonight, because it'll just be... Everybody will have lots of jobs each, and it won't matter. But anyway, this episode, as you all may recall, I was very excited about last week because it looked like some good old-fashioned hurt comfort, because it was pretty plain and big part of the plot that Sam was shot. And indeed he was. And, you know, just to start, Sam Winchester is the biggest badass ever. The Dean, but this episode, I got to give him the edge because shot in right near the stomach. I can't say stomach because if he was gut shot, he'd be dead. He really would be dead. That would be the end. And if it wasn't from the wound, he'd be dead from sepsis after all that time. But, so it must have been near there, and of course it is, you know, TV magic. But to get up from that wound and walk as much as he did, and then come back from almost being killed by Corbin, and then fighting off two more werewolves, and then driving to save Dean, I'm like, holy cow! I'm very impressed.
Pardon my French, but this episode totally showed Sam motherfucking Winchester. I mean, that's what this episode was about. I mean,
indeed.
I've never seen any. I mean, yeah, of course it's fictional. You know, nobody in real life would be able to do that. But oh my God, he just kicked ass from here to Sunday. I mean, it was just amazing. It was just awesome. When he comes into the hospital there at the end and shoots Corbin while Corbin is strangling Dean, I was like, I actually said, Sam motherfucking Winchester for the win. I mean, it was just awesome.
Yeah.
So good.
He was. And you know, big kudos to Jared for playing being shot in this episode. You know he isn't, but you believe he is, because he did such a fantastic job of being in terrible pain and wounded and not being able to walk and fighting his way back and then, you know, like stumbling through the forest. I was cringing. I went through a lot in this episode. I will say up front that I didn't get enough comfort to go with my hurt, which is a problem, but, you know, I guess, it, you know, being the Winchesters, you know, they're not going to get too chick flicky most of the time, but I could have used a little bit more at the end, but I guess I'll have to live without it. but Dean was actually, when Sam's actually shot, and he's helping him. Oh, speaking of badass, here, Dean, get the bullet out. Dean gets the bullet out. And, oh, here, bandage yourself, Sam. I'm going to go over here and help these other people.
He throws it at him, basically.
Yeah, you just got to push it down. Here you go. Here, let me go fight all these people. I'm like, who cares about those people? They're not even shot, you know. But they're like, here, bandage yourself. And he does. And I was like, oh, Sam, I felt so bad for him. And
right.
You know, and also, oh, that's one of my nitpicks about this episode. And again, it's TV and I shouldn't expect, you know, a whole lot because Supernatural's not the only show that does it. But like medical procedure and medical reality, you don't just pull out a bullet like that, especially where it is, because who knows what it's going to do on the way out and who knows what damage it's done on the way in. And then if, you know, we shot the stomach or the intestines, there goes all that bacteria, everything else. So anyway, and then he bleeds all over the place. And then at the end, and he says, oh yeah, I got a, you know, some blood transfusion and yeah, some antibiotics and I'll rest at home and I'll be fine. And I'm like, no, be in the hospital like for a month.
It's because he's Sam motherfucking Winchester. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, that's silly me. Yes. The only thing I can, you know, hand wave about about Dean's like meatball surgery there in the cabin is that he and Sam have been hurt so many times and shot and wounded and God knows what so many times. They probably could be like paramedics. And they can probably, like, triage really well and deal with that stuff really fast because they've been through it so much. So, okay.
Right.
I'll give them that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, you're talking about him with the bullet and everything. So, like, they've probably dug bullets out of each other so many times that they know, you know, it's a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to do it.
Yeah, and they probably know when to do it and when not to do it, you know, and
right.
sometimes they leave bullets in, not in the stomach, but like sometimes you get shot in the arm or the leg and it'd be worse to take it out. So they just leave it in you. Yeah, they just let your body heal around it.
Right. So, right.
Which is interesting. One thing about this episode that I think doesn't happen that often, we started right in the middle of a Sam and Dean fight. Incident with the werewolves. Usually we get some nothing character at the beginning and they're killed by werewolves or we see what happens to them and then after the credits we go find out what Sam and Dean are doing about it. But this one jumped right into that epic pivotal fight and where Sam gets shot, and that's certainly a way to pull you into the episode. So that's right. It's not, that doesn't happen very often. I don't remember it happening very often. Or is that the first time?
Yeah, I completely
hard to remember
agree.
In 11
I don't
years.
Remember. And plus, it's being such a huge epic fight like that. I don't remember, you know, ever coming into such a big, huge epic fight like that before. And I thought that was really cool.
Yes, that was a really, really neat moment.
And I have to say, I hate that Corbin guy probably more than just about anybody I've ever hated on this show. He should burn in hell. I mean, not the Crowley hell where you just, you know, stand around and
mm-hmm.
do numbers and things. No, I want him in the horrible hell like the Dean was in. You know, I want him in the bad hell.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, in the bad hell. In the bottom, the horrible place. Yes, and it's funny because in my notes, in capital letters, I hate Corbin for so many things.
Yes, and he was a bad person before he turned into a werewolf, you know, because, you know, I get maybe you could say, you know, it was the werewolf blood in him that made him just go ahead and kill Sam. I don't think so, because killing a person the way he thought he had killed Sam, that's just gross and creepy and... That's just super personal and
it was horrible.
It was horrible.
It was horrible.
I can't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like worse than like any other kill on this show. almost, because, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. they're horrible, disgusting, creepy monsters are monsters. They're going to do that kind of stuff. It's like, and they've shown it a couple other times on this show that, like, sometimes it's the human that's the worst monster. And that's mm-hmm. what this was, Corbin. And he didn't even try and give Sam a chance. Like, there was all the, and you know what, Michelle wasn't even hurt that badly. I mean, she was kind of hurt, and I understand him being protective, but it's not like she had been shot. She bounced back pretty good by the end of the episode. So, he was just, it was horrifying the way he killed Sam. Just horrifying. He made the choice. That was like premeditated murder, actually.
That's exactly what it was. Because, you know, he didn't, you know, for all he knew, you know, Sam could have, you know, and as we see, as we know, Sam, that wound he had was livable, you know, it wasn't a, you know, a wound to kill him, because as we see, Sam's alive, you know, and just to kill him because you think he'll slow him down, I mean, mm-hmm. A person who can make that decision is not a good person.
No. And, you know, he would have done the same thing to Dean. And like Dean says, you know, we're going to make a litter, we're going to carry him, and it's only a couple of miles, you know. It's not across the desert. It was really, really horrible. Yeah, he deserved, in fact, it was too good, actually, that he got shot. He should have had terrible things happen to him.
I wanted to see the moment where Dean told Sam what he did.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to see that, because Sam, you know, if Corbin wasn't dead then, he would have been dead, because Dean would have killed him hard. I mean, I'd like to have seen that. Yeah, he might have gone back to his body and killed him some more, you know. Yeah. It was
I'd say he'd set him on fire, but I don't think he would give him that kind of peace. I think he would.
Right.
Just, you know.
He might bring him back to life just so we can kill him again.
That's right. Ew. Just horrible. I thought that was, speaking of Dean, and Jensen, Sam's dead, and he says Sammy. He's Sammy a lot in this episode, of course, because he was, of course, completely devastated that he actually thought Sam had died, you know, from some stupid thing, you know. It's always a stupid thing that gets you, you know, not some big epic battle, you know, with Lucifer. And he dies from some stupid gunshot wound. And you see the way Dean killed that werewolf after he shot Sam. Yeah, that would have been Corbin's fate as well if he found out. But I thought Jensen did a really beautiful job of, he was so good. He was over poor dead Sam, and he says, Sammy. And then when he says, they talk him into leaving, and again, I hate Corbin for talking Dean into actually leaving Sam behind, but when he says, I'll come back for you, I promise, and I'm like, there's no way he would ever leave Sam behind, you know, it was so sad, mm-hmm. and him crying, he does that so beautifully. And then when Corbin says, there's more coming, and Dean pulls out the knife, and he turns totally like steely eyed, and he says, "Let him come." It reminded me of in All Hell Breaks Loose 2, when he says to Bobby, "Then let it end," you know, because he thinks Sam's dead, nothing to live for.
I love that so much, because one, it's like this guy killed Sam just so Dean would leave. Dean would go with them and help them to leave.
Mm.
And I was like, "You dumbass." You know, he's not going to leave his brother. He would rather stay there and die, you know. And that's what he was going to do. He was going to stay there and die until, you know, the guy brings up his wife, you know. And, of course, you know, a damsel in distress is always, you know, Sam's weakness. Mm-hmm. So he had to help her. Dean's weakness. But I was like, it would so serve him right that Dean's like, I don't care. We're going to stay here and die. Sam's not alive.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you dumbass. Oh. I hate that guy.
I do too. I'm not sorry he's gone. I'm just sorry he didn't get killed earlier.
Right, yes. And so very, you know, huge kudos to the actor because he made us hate him so much. He's a really good actor. He played that role really, really well.
Yes, he did.
His name is Blair Penner. So Blair, you rocked it. You made us hate you a lot. So you did a really good job. And he's actually been in Supernatural before. He was in Southern Comfort back in season 7. His character was Lance Stanley. It's been a while since I've watched that episode, so I don't remember the character. But he was in Supernatural before.
Yeah.
And
well,
the actress that played his wife, Erin Way, she's on the show, USA Network show Colony. I don't know if you watch it, but Kim Rhodes is on it for a little while. But she's a recurring character on that show.
Okay. It's, Colony is sitting on my DVR. I've seen a couple episodes, and I liked it. It's just too much TV, not enough time. Yes, yeah, I did. I liked it. Yes, I did like it. I have all these notes. I was trying to think what to mention first. Oh, speaking of characters we hate, and I don't hate him as much as I hate Corbin, but I really just wanted to just kick him in the ass because the dopey sheriff, I kept doing everything to stop Dean, and I'm like, I understand Dean why he did it, but, you know, of course he punched the sheriff. But, you know, big mistake. Don't hit law enforcement. Though I'm not surprised he did it because, of course, he was on his way back. And, of course, the sheriff really didn't know if Dean was responsible for what happened to Corbin and Michelle, and he was just trying to get away. But, you know, why flag down the car and why help them, you know, if he's the bad guy? And all Dean said was, you just got to let me go. Here, take care of those people. Just let me go. And he was kind of a weenie. So, yeah, he wasn't as horrible as Corbin, but he was kind of a weenie. And then he wants to sedate him later on. And then the minute he comes out of being, you know, dead, overdosed, convulsions, he wants to arrest him and puts him in handcuffs. I'm like, you are a bad sheriff.
it's like, you know, sure, yeah, the punching him was bad, but he hadn't done anything up until that point to, you know, to be arrested or, you know, and, bad guy.
Yes,
that actor also, he's also been on Supernatural before. He was in Born Again Identity. He's the guy who Bobby left the note in the book, and it led Dean to Castiel in Born Again Identity. And I think I'm pretty sure, but it doesn't list it on IMDb. But I'm pretty sure he was young Daniel Elkins in the episode where Dean went back to the past and met young Mary and Mary's parents and went back to get the colt. He was young Daniel Elkins, I believe.
Oh. Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Okay. He did a good
job. It's not on IMDb.
I have to, you know, kudos to the actor because he did a good job of making me not like him. You know, but I'm sorry I don't like you, but I don't. And that was another thing about this episode, which, you know, season 11
17 episodes in, this episode, like, really had me very tense, and I was really worried and kind of freaked out and scared, and I kept thinking, I know Sam and Dean are going to be okay, but it was so well done and so well written, you know, for the most part. I was really nervous. I'm like, and I was like cringing because there was so much, like, they'd be going through so much and it was so tense. Are they going to get away? And just things kept going from bad to worse. You know, they'd get out of the woods and there's more werewolves, you know, then the sheriff stops them and then he arrests Dean, and then, you know, Sam wakes up and he's alive, but then the werewolves find him, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, there's so many bad things happening in here. and
Robert Barron,
you know,
and Andrew Dabb. Yeah, they did a great job of keeping the tension just building and building in the whole episode.
Yes. And it was great. Oh, I have to say, when Dean's flagging down the sheriff, and he just marches, you know, across there with those bow legs, shallow moment. I thought that was funny. But not really. And also, speaking of hot, when Sam shoots Corbin at the end, and there he is with the gun in his hand, all badass and everything, that was hotter than it should have been, standing there all covered in blood.
Yeah.
It was hot.
And one little bitty thing that I thought was neat that they added, when they're all walking through the woods, Sam and Dean and Corbin and his wife, and they have to stop for a minute, and Sam says, I knew it was a bad idea to have that roadhouse chili. When you see in the scene right before that, when it was the flashback to when they were sitting in the roadhouse and talking to the bartender lady, there's a bowl of chili. You can on to the left. It's on Dean's side, but you know you can't really see much on Sam's side of the counter. But you can see a bowl that there had been chili in it. You know, you can tell that there had been chili in the bowl. So I was like, that's a neat detail. They included that. I like that.
That is awesome. I didn't notice. I mean, that's a very funny line. You know, I love Sam. You know, still trying to joke through everything. But they actually had chili. I'll be darned.
Yeah.
That's a great detail. Great detail, you guys. I just loved how earlier in the episode when they're, you know, searching for clues and trying to figure out the case, figure out the case and get started, and the bartender, the woman, sends them out to the cabins on private property, and Sam's just the darn chipper to Dean when he says, Dean's all grumpy, and he's like, you know, and Sam's like, hey, you know how we were talking, we were going to take some time and go camping and do all this stuff, and he's just so happy, and Dean's like, what, you know, like, this is your idea of fun, you know, a thin weed and freezing our nuts off and all that, and Sam's kind of, oh, yeah, that's it. Of course, he's being, you know, sarcastic, but I just got the feeling he was just happy to be out on a basic hunt with his brother. And it just made me happy.
Yeah.
Didn't last long, but, you know, I liked it.
Right.
That was cool.
From our Facebook page, Donna has said, please talk about how Sam was already driving but also stopped by to get the Impala before heading over to the urgent care. He was in so much pain, but he can't come back later for the car. They might need it. Besides, leave no man behind, and baby is the third character. And I did like that. I noticed that, too. He's driving that big truck that belonged to the werewolves, and he stops at the Impala and gets out of the big truck and gets in the Impala and goes on to the urgent care center. I love
that too.
I love that, too.
I love that, too. And all I could think of is, and then when he gets there, he just kind of collapses on baby, and I think, oh, it's because it's baby, you know? She'll take care of him.
you know, and he had to get back. And of course, you know, they're werewolves, and that's where all their proper weaponry is. And it makes perfect sense. But it's like, oh, you know, there's no way he's going to leave her behind. Absolutely not. And that was a pretty scene too, you know, in the mist and the fog and the woods and everything. It was just a pretty moment too.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, you were talking about what a good job Jared did with his acting. I loved how mm-hmm. when he's getting into that car and he's still keeping his hand on the wound, and he uses his right hand to close the door, and he grabs it by the edge of the window, you know, and closes mm-hmm. the door. And I was like, yeah, that was mm-hmm. just looked like a very hurt guy. He did a great job with that.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And then at the end, after he shoots Corbin, you see him like all wobbly, and he just looks at Dean, and mm-hmm. then he goes back, looks at Dean, and then goes back, and he just collapses on the floor. It's like, that's it. You know, I can't do anymore. And I love Dean saying, well, it took you long enough, you know, which of course is, you know, Winchester way of saying, thank God you're all right. I love you, you know.
That, to me, this episode felt like a filler episode, because, you know, it doesn't advance the mythology, you know, and it doesn't, you know, but to me, this episode was everything that Supernatural is about. You know, Supernatural is about Sam and Dean, and that they will do anything for each other. And in this episode, you know, we got, you know, Sam died, and so Dean killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he committed suicide by overdose to try
mm-hmm.
and to bring Sam back. And Dean, you could tell Dean mm-hmm. was like, but if you can't bring me back, that's okay. You know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Sam's dead. I'm fine with being dead, too. And, you know, it just showed, you know, the codependency and the,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, I've said this before. If these characters were real, I would want them
mm-hmm.
to, I would not want them to be this way. I would not want them to be, you know, so dependent
mm-hmm.
on each other, can't live without each other. But this is a TV show. You know, I like my entertainment.
Yes.
You know, these people aren't real. And for entertainment-wise, it's very, very, I love it. I just love it. And
oh, yes. Hurt, comfort, angst, trauma, give them to me. I love it.
Yes.
Put Sam and
you
Dean
had monsters,
through it.
Monsters fighting, Sam and Dean dying for each other. You know, it was just
mm-hmm. the best.
You know, Dean died for Sam. Sam went through, you know, everything in the world to get to Dean to save him, because he knew that Dean was with a werewolf, you know, and he was getting
mm-hmm.
to save him from the werewolf. And
yes.
it's just all of that is what makes is what I the show I fell in love with, you know, back in
mm-hmm.
when it first started. It was the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode really, really, you know, featured that. And
mm-hmm.
on a different note, when Sam died, did he die, or what do you think? Was he just really unconscious? Because as we know, you know, he's got all those head injuries, so losing any little bit of oxygen is going to make him unconscious.
Yeah.
You
Doesn't
know, was
take
he
much.
Just really unconscious? With a really faint pulse, and it was there, just really, really faint. That's why Dean and Corbin couldn't feel it. Or did he die, and God, whom we know we're going to be seeing later on this season, did he bring him back?
Well, Dean says that the docs thought Sam had gone into shock, and that's why his heart and his pulse rate had gone so faint and so low that he seemed dead.
Right.
But that was her hypothesis. I mean, she didn't know for sure because, you know, she wasn't there, of course. So, but Billy the Reaper says W, apparently Jared's
mm-hmm.
second favorite nickname after Moose, for Sam.
says if the big W had died, I would get a call. But if he died and God intervened, she would not get a call. The call would be intercepted.
Right.
So yeah, that's a mystery. I mean, you know, the doctor has, you know, she's a scientist. She's Scully, you know, for all intents and purposes. And maybe she's seen some things all doctors have, but did she just have a theory and that's it?
She doesn't know, you know, she may not have the information about Corbin, you know, smothering him, so.
Right. So she doesn't know that somebody actively tried to kill him unless he told her.
Mm-hmm.
He may not tell Dean. And then the doctor confidentiality, she couldn't tell Dean, but he could have told her what happened to him. So, and maybe because Dean said, well, the doc said you went into shock, blah, blah, blah. Maybe Sam and the doctor kind of cooked that up to tell Dean so he wouldn't go back and cut Corbin into little tiny pieces, you know, in the middle of all the way. Could be. I don't know. It's a good question. Very good question. We'll probably get more thoughts and information on that as the season goes on, because, like you said, apparently we're getting a visit from God.
Yay!
Or maybe just
fine.
Chuck Shirley. We don't know. yes, it is about time, and I'm excited because I love Rob Benedict. Good to see him again.
And I thought it was, you know, as you know, if you follow our website and everything, you've heard the news that, you know, Rob Benedict, it was announced in the news back a month or so ago that he's going to be in episode 20. Well, they're currently filming 21, and Wednesday night when all the, you know, everybody was live tweeting, Jared, Jens, and Misha, Rob was there. So that means he's also in 21.
Yes. I saw that and went, he's still around. They're still going there. Very interesting.
And I like that. I like that a lot. I like that a whole lot.
Yes. I do like that. I do like that. My question for you is, Billy the Reaper says again that to Sam and Dean, no chances, no more chances. Dead is dead. What's dead should stay dead, and they're going to stay dead, and she's going to send them out into the empty. She's mentioned this several times. Do you think, because Supernatural has a tendency to say something and then do it, you know, they're pretty, yeah.
That used to be,
pardon the expression, missionary.
That used to be what they do.
Yeah,
that used to be,
they do
you know, they start out and say, this is what we're going to do, and they would do it. And then they, you know,
they would do
after
it.
The crypty, yeah, basically kind of stopped doing that, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she keeps bringing it up, so do you think that's something figure in at the end of the season? Yeah, okay.
I think so, why else to have Billy on the show? Because really, she's not really done anything so far. You know, she's popped up in, what, 3 episodes now? And she hasn't had a point yet that we know of. So, you know, I think there has to be something big for her character and doing what she says coming up. Because otherwise, why is she there? And I was thinking about this yesterday. There's DC Con is going on this weekend, and Julian Richings' death, he had a panel yesterday, and he was saying, it's a year now, almost a year since I've been dead, you know. So I'm like, I think probably after them killing off Bobby, the thing that has bothered me the most that Supernatural's done is they killed Death, but yet there's been no ramifications for it. You know, killing Death should have turn the world upside down or something, you know, there should have been huge consequences because of that. Things should have been changed, or if they're not, you know, we should have found out oh, you know, killing this guy is death just basically promotes another guy up to death. And
mm-hmm. Yep.
If
just call another slayer.
Done, exactly. If that is what they've done, and it's Billy, if that's what they've done and it's Billy and they just haven't told us that it's Billy, I'll accept that. That'll be like, yes, finally, that'll kill two birds with one stone. One, we're getting some consequences from death and the death of death. And two, there's a point for Billy. So,
because if she doesn't
there has to be a point for her being there. And that we just don't know it yet.
Yeah. Besides,
and two, I love Lisa
Dean and Sam. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's wonderful in that role. She's just awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
She's awesome.
Why does Billy hate Sam and Dean so much? She's just annoyed because her job is death and they keep cheating death. She just doesn't like people making her job difficult.
I think it's he didn't like that Sam and Dean were always cheating him. You know, he didn't like it. And I think it's the same thing. Maybe all Reapers feel that way about Sam and Dean, you know. Except for, of course, Tessa. She liked him, but till Dean killed her.
Yes. Also, I think that she was so sure that she was going to reap Dean when he overdosed and died. She so enjoyed telling Dean, no deal, pass. And poor Dean, you know, said, you know, the darkness is coming and she's even going to get you. And Sam's the one who's going to be the one to beat her. And then he couldn't keep the story going. And she realized he was lying about it. And then he's like begging and he made me so sad because they'll never learn, but that's okay. Because like you said, that's the way I like the brothers, you know, and he was trying so hard to get Sam alive again. And he always says, well, take me, you know, leave Sam alive. I'm thinking, well, you know, Sam's not going to go for that, Dean, you know. So anyway, she's so sure that she's going to reap Dean that she tells him, oh, and here's the funny thing. Sam's alive. And I'm like, you don't know Dean Winchester at all. Because the minute you said that, he was out of there. There is no way you were going to reap him and he was going to die. If there was even a prayer that Sam was still alive. And of course, Billy would know, being the reaper. Unless, of course, he did die and God intervened, like you said, and she didn't know. But either way, she believed at that time Sam was dead, was not dead. So, and she made a mistake. She won't make that mistake again, but she was pretty arrogant at that point, thinking she was so sure she was going to reap Dean that she could tell him. She was trying to make it worse for him. You know, she was really trying to be nasty and say, oh, ha, ha, I'm going to get you. And, yeah, ha, 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 your brother's alive. People were calling this episode Romeo and Juliet. So,
Yeah, even Elena Huffman, Abaddon, she even tweeted about that. And I totally see that comparison. Because, you know, one is dead, so the other one goes to kill himself. And then, oh, nope, not the first one. The first one's not dead, you know. And it was very, very much Romeo and Juliet. I was surprised that Billy played along with Dean for so long on Sam being dead. She knew he wasn't dead. And she, she played along with him for, you know, longer than I expected her to.
Yeah, she was just being nasty, I think.
Yeah.
I really do. She just hates him, and she was just being nasty. So.
Oh, she is so gorgeous. And that leather jacket that she's always wearing. Oh, I want that jacket. Mm-hmm.
I know, and her makeup, of course. You know, it's always beautiful.
Oh, so pretty.
Yeah,
and I love her hair.
Yeah. Yes.
She is,
Twitter.
Badass.
I mean, I know
she's
you are,
badass.
But I'm saying the general people out there, if you're not already, listen, if you're listening and don't already follow Lisa Barry, her Twitter is very sweet and uplifting and positive and
not at all like Billy.
Everything, I would say not at all like Billy. Say nothing like Billy.
But Billy is one badass, and yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with her.
No. She was great, and I think she's definitely going to figure into the season-ending episodes for sure. You know, otherwise, why have her? Like you said, she's popped up three times.
Exactly.
Now, so she's got to have a point. So definitely. I love the phone call when Dean's trying to call Sam because Billy's told him he's alive, and then Sam calls Dean, and that's who gets through. And I love the relief and Dean in the phone call. You know, I just, that was great. And then, of course, bad reception, so one more bad thing happens, and they can't talk to each other. But I loved part of that phone call, at least. It was wonderful. Sam's been shot and goes through all that stuff. Dean, he's tasered in a fight, broken ribs, a concussion, purposely obese himself, and then has a fight with a werewolf. I'm like, I mean, you guys, this episode, I'm shocked they both survived.
They talk about at the end, you know, Sam got the blood transfusion and stitches, and I'm like, oh, what about Dean? He needed some medical care there too, you know. What did they do for Dean? What about his broken ribs? What about his concussion? What about, you know, what about him?
I know, but I think it's like, it's typical, you know, they just roll right by their injuries, and and it's like magic, you know. Sam, both Sam and Dean have been clocked on the head so many times, and nothing. Nothing at all.
No.
Oh, well. Alrighty. Oh, I thought that was a nice directing choice when Sam wakes up in the cabin and he's staggering around and he hears the werewolves are coming, and he goes downstairs and he falls down the stairs the same time Dean falls to the floor in urgent care as he's ODing. I thought that was a nice directing bit. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I love that too.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Sam going into shock or whatever and his body actually kind of shutting down actually helped him survive, actually. You know,
yeah, I do too.
Like
And, you know, then the adrenaline, you know, like when he's in the house, when, you know, when he's in the cabin or whatever, and he hears the werewolf, you know, above him, and, you know, the adrenaline pumping is what, you know, gave him the strength to keep going. And
And like sometimes they'll put people in a medically induced coma to help them, so.
And, you know, Sam and Dean are smart. They know how to fight when wounded. And, you know, Sam, you know, he hid down in the basement. And when the big werewolf showed up, you know, when, you know, he hid until the big werewolf and then killed him. He knew how to, he knew what he needed to do, how to kill the werewolf guy without, you know, confronting him. You know, he knows he needs to hide. And, you know, I love that Sam and Dean are that smart. They know, you know, even when wounded, they know what they need to do to fight and survive and to stay alive. And he hid and killed the big guy. And then when the bartender lady comes down, you know, you could tell, you know, he just waited at hid down the end of the steps till she got there, killed her. And I just thought it was fantastic.
That was amazing. But definitely Sam fucking Winchester for sure.
And the scene, I didn't notice it the first time, but the scene's on right now when Sam pulls up in the big truck behind the Impala. When he gets out, he's on his knees on the ground. I didn't notice that before. He gets out of the truck on his knees. And
I don't remember that either. Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he did an awesome job. Jared did an awesome job in this episode of plain shot. Ooh. I was just looking at the IMDb for the doctor because I really liked her character, Dr. Kessler.
in the urgent mm-hmm. care. I thought she did a great job. And I'm looking at her credits, and she was in Supernatural before in Swap Meet. And she was in this episode,
yes.
Red Meat. So I'm like, so next time there's an episode with the word meat in the title, I'm thinking she'll be back.
I always think of her, the line, "Are you smoking drugs?" You know, when she says to Sam when he's, you know, in the body of the other boy, you know, "Are you smoking drugs?" That always, that line just cracks me up every time. But, and I think it was Brianna maybe who tweeted it, or Lisa? I don't remember. Someone tweeted during when the episode was airing Wednesday night that she's actually also the person when you're auditioning, she's the person that you read with. So she must have a job, you know, also not only is she a professional actress, but she must also, you know, be,
mm-hmm.
you know, work. I don't know if it's with the studio, you know, or what. But she, when
mm-hmm.
you audition for a role, she's the person you read with. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. And if you go way back, she was in Dark Angel. She was in The X-Files. She was in two episodes of The X-Files. And it's funny because she played a character named Crowley in a show, several episodes.
Yes, on
Blood Ties.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows, too. I love Blood Ties. And yep, I remember her on that show. And she was also a really big character, not big, but, you know, had a lot of lines on Battlestar Galactica. I always remember her from there.
Very cool. Oh, she's in Stargate, too, in episodes.
On
cool.
Blood Ties, her character Crowley on Blood Ties was, she was police. She was a police person.
Cool. Speaking of Dean in urgent care, when he comes back to consciousness and he's laying in the hospital bed, Jensen tweeted a pic of himself in that bed, and he was complaining that he was stuck working and was annoyed that Jared was home in Austin having fun without him. That was funny. So just if anybody was wondering, this is the episode.
Oh, I remember that some people were upset and thought he actually was in the hospital at the time. And
really?
No, it's like, he's not in the hospital. it's a role.
Y'all know he shoots a TV show, right?
look at what he's wearing.
And Sam and Dean, they spend a lot of time in hospital beds and that sort of thing. Okay. All righty then. I still have more notes, but I see we have a pretty patient caller on there, and we're headed to our second hour. Should we let them on, or
sure?
Can we hang on a bit longer? Okay. Let's see what they have to say.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Hi.
Hi. Hi, how are you guys?
We're great.
Good.
Can you
hey,
hear me?
What's your name?
Good.
Yeah, we can hear you. What's your name?
My name's Jared. I'm another Jared. Hi, guys. Hey, I was listening, and I just wanted to kind of iterate on a couple subjects you guys are talking about, like
mm-hmm.
death. If on the season finale of last year, when Dean kills Death, when he is sitting down with Death, he says to Dean that, "I'm actually older than God. I came before God. I am the only entity that has been around before time began. So I don't think he's replaceable."
Good point.
Because he says, I will even reap God when it's time.
Right, I remember that.
So I think death itself is a finality in itself, if that makes sense.
So do you agree that there should have been some consequences from Dean's killing Death?
Yes, because the whole natural order is offset now. If there is
exactly.
no death to take life,
mm.
then life can't actually die then. Because there is
exactly.
nothing to take it to.
Yes, so. I feel the same way. Yes, and they haven't shown anything like that. People are still dying. And
exactly.
I want to know what's up with that.
Well, me too. And the other part I wanted to touch base on was I forgot what I was going to say now. I hate when I do that. But yeah, as far as death goes, yeah, there should be repercussions, and I think that they have to do something in this season to offset the unbalance now.
Yes. I wonder if Death is actually dead. I mean, I know they killed Death, but like you said, he was older than God, and he was going to reap God, and he could have been talking arrogantly, but I also wonder, is he really gone? Because there hasn't been consequences that we've seen. I mean, Billy kind of mentioned it, but they just kind of, the Reapers just kept reaping. They didn't stop working just because their boss is supposedly dead, so...
Right, and if they've got no boss, then how do they have direction? Who do they know to go to? You know, I mean, he was directing all these Reapers this whole time. You're going to go get this person, you're going to go get this person, it's this person's time. Now who directs them? You know, no Reaper has the power of death, so they can't just step up and assume the role.
Hmm. And as we learned in previous seasons, apparently Reapers are angels.
Mm-hmm.
I try to ignore that. I'm not saying
that. I think they're more like a hybrid. I see them more as a hybrid, a death angel, a hell angel, so to speak. You know, they're like a piece of both. They're good and dark, intermittent, so to speak. You know, they can
jump to the bad side
or they can jump to the good side. Because, like, the Reapers aren't bad. When Dean died in the hospital and the Reaper came for him and tricked him, she was nice about it. I mean, she could have just said, okay, hey, you know, like, Billy, no, you're going to go. But she said, you have a choice. And if you say no, then I can't take you. And I just hope they find a way to bring Bobby back.
Yes, yes. You're preaching. You're telling my story now. That's me. I was gonna say
you must be Becky's
so
favorite
much.
Caller ever.
Too early passing.
Yeah, I miss Bobby. Every time he's on, I remember how much I miss him.
I miss the idiots.
This goes back to a storyline that they dropped. Because when this happened, I originally thought, yes, this is a way to bring Bobby back. Remember back season 9? There are so many seasons now, I can't remember them all. But when Crowley's son, when Abaddon brought Crowley's son back, and, he, instead of sending him back to his time to let him die when he was supposed to, Crowley kept him and dropped him off at a park or something, you know. So, Dean and Sam told him specifically, if you don't take him back to his own timeline, that changes everything. You know, there's no telling, you know, what all that will change in the present. And so I was like, by doing that, by keeping Crowley's son alive, that can change a lot of timelines. That could mean Bobby's still alive. And so I was all excited for the next season because I was looking forward to changes in the timeline. Oh, maybe maybe Joe's still alive, you know, maybe Ellen's still alive, maybe Bobby's still alive. It could have made all these changes happen, and nothing ever came from it.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
like a episode where they step into an ulterior universe where they have a chance to bring the people back with them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what they could have. And they had a loophole right there. Crowley's son's alive. There's a loophole to bring back a past character. You can say, oh, because Crowley's son's alive, that changed things, and now so-and-so's still alive. They totally had a loophole, and they didn't use it.
Yeah, just like Star Trek, you know, in the new revised version, because of the Kelvin got destroyed, a ship got destroyed in the past, it changed the future. Now the whole timeline of that show is totally different now. You know,
okay.
It started off with Spock and Kirk were enemies. They hated each other in the beginning of that show. You know, the new reprise. And in the old show, they were best of friends from the beginning. And now they're becoming friends, you know, because of the alternate universe. So they from everything I watch with alternate realities, it's like I take a little piece of that with me and I can put this together and bring everybody back. And Eric Kripke is a smart man. He ought to be able to figure that out.
Right. I wish he was star showrunner.
Yeah, I miss him.
I miss him. But his new show...
He visited the set
like
recently.
His new show, though, Time Shift, kind of deals with this stuff from what I've heard. So his new show, you know, I'm really excited about it. Yeah, his new show, Time Shift, is about time travel and things. So I'm really, really excited about his new show.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah,
but
he visited
the
Supernatural set. I wish they just kept him. He was there.
Oh.
I was like, oh, sorry, Eric.
Oh,
we got you back. You're not leaving.
Yes, kidnap him. Tie him,
right.
Tie him down. Tie him to one of the rooms in the bunker there and not let him out.
Yep.
Put him
they
in.
Have a dungeon.
Put him in. Yeah, I was going to say, put him in the dungeon.
what about the father going over to The Walking Dead?
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so excited about that. I love me some Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And Walking Dead is one of my favorite shows. So, but the part I'm dreading is I always loved Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I love him on Good Wife. You know, everything I've watched him on, I love him on. And I'm dreading seeing him as somebody who's going to be killing off people that I love on Walking Dead. So
I know. Yeah, well,
don't make me hate you.
It's because he's such a good guy and everything else, it's hard to believe that he's actually stepping into the bad role.
Yeah, I'm very nervous about it. I'm actually really, really nervous about it.
I'm just worried about who they're going to kill off. I'm glad he's on the show, but I miss him. But I have a feeling, they said it's going to be a major character, and Daryl's already hurt, so I'm assuming it's probably going to be like Michonne or somebody like that.
I'm scared it's going to be Michonne. I really, really am. At first, for the most of the season, I was like, it's going to be Glenn or Maggie. I was like, it's going to be Glenn or Maggie. And Maggie would be the, you know, since the comic books killed off Glenn, killing off Maggie because she's pregnant, she's Glenn's wife, you know, because the TV show tends to do things same but different. In the comic book, telling Maggie would fit. But now I'm really worried it'll be Michonne because Michonne and Rick have got that relationship and they're happy. And last week's episode,
nobody can
Rick
stay
was
happy.
And Rick was all confident. I'm worried it's going to be Michonne.
Anyway. No, if you just tuned in, you're not listening to the Talking Dead podcast. Surprise.
I apologize to that lady.
That's
okay.
I love
we talking about both. So.
And Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you know, is a Supernatural show icon. But
And with those werewolves that were on there, you know, I thought they were kind of tame compared to the werewolves that they normally face. You know, I thought they were gothic.
Yeah, well, they were certainly beaten pretty quickly.
Even though one did shoot Sam, you know, I thought, eh, these are weak werewolves.
I mean, they had no drive, no killer instinct.
Even the bartender and her and the guy, they were pretty ashamed of them too. They said, you know, here, we hand them to you, we train you, and you still couldn't do anything. So, they were pretty poor werewolves.
Well, that's pretty bad when a monster is disgusted with another monster. Like, look, we led the lambs to you, we even slaughtered them, and you still didn't eat. Well, ladies, I appreciate the time, and I've got to go and get back to work, and thank you for everything, and you're doing a wonderful job on the show. I'm a big fan of it. I just started watching it, but I am hooked. So thank you, ladies, and you have a good night, and stay supernatural.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, ladies. You have a good night.
Okay. Thanks.
You too.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I always love when we get a guy caller. That was awesome.
I know. I know. It's a little unusual, but we like it. It's okay.
And I could talk to that guy all night. I think he and I had a lot of the same, we liked a lot of the same subjects. I could talk to him all night.
Yeah, I mean, he
Let's
was
talk
totally,
Walking
totally
Dead.
Up
Let's
our
talk
alley.
Bobby.
Yes. What was I gonna say? I don't know. I'll say it. I don't care. When Sam wants to talk Dean into taking this case, and they're researching, and Sam says to Dean, you know, how you doing over there? Dean's like, same, depressed. And he says, you got anything? And he's like, well, yeah. And Dean's like, hey, you know what? Hand of God, blah, blah, blah. No, we have a case. And then, again, he's so chipper about maybe getting out and hunting with his brother. But he also says to Dean, trying to reassure him, we'll get him back. Of course, talking about Kaz. And Dean says, well, how? And I have to say, I think sometimes they do that. It's just more lip service than anything. I really don't see Dean that traumatized about Cass not being around. Is that just me? And it's okay if you don't want to answer me. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Send those complaint letters to me. I see that they do it because they kind of have, like, I don't mean that they have to, but it's just like, well, we have to mention Cass. We have to mention, you know, because he's not around and he is Lucifer now or Cassifer now. So I don't see, it's not like when Sam doesn't have Dean or Dean doesn't have Sam to me. It's like, oh, right. Cass is out there somewhere. Oh, yeah, I guess maybe we should look for him. You know, it's kind of what I feel like sometimes. And they say it, but I'm not sure I always believe it. So. Anyway, just my opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be anyone else's. I was gonna say,
no comment from me.
And that was me, Susan, so don't direct any angry tweets to Becky. She didn't answer. That was me. I'm sorry, though. You know, it's just like I'm not even trying to think about that. You know, I don't go looking for that. It just seems to sometimes come out of nowhere to me when they say that, but just my two cents.
Yeah.
Apparently that's all going to change next week. The episode's actually titled Hell's Angel, so we're probably going to get a really good look. And again, Cass as Lucifer's been pretty fun, so see how that goes. Anyway. What did you think of the end, like the very last couple of scenes when Dean goes to talk to Michelle, who was so sad? I felt bad for her, sort of, even if she did,
date
or marry or psychopath or whatever. But, you know, psychopaths, they can hide, you know. And she didn't know, and she tried to do the right thing. When she found out what he was really like, she tried to do the right thing. She went and helped Dean. She went to check on him. And I think she would have left that guy because she knew finally what he was like. So I did like her, and I felt bad for her just sitting there so sad. You know, and
yeah.
She says, and of course she says the lines that Dean, of course, totally identifies. And Dean says, eventually you'll get back to normal. And she says, no, I won't. After everything we survived together, I watched the man I love die. There's no normal after that. And Dean
certainly knows that, which is why he'll never let Sam die, ever. And I felt bad for her. And then she
right.
says, I've been sitting there an hour. They told me I could go an hour ago, and she was still sitting there. She just didn't know where to go. That, yeah, I felt bad. It's like when you have a terrible tragedy like that, you really, you just don't know what to do. You just don't. So it's
yeah.
sad. And I
yeah.
love Sam knowing his brother and saying, okay, when you thought I was dead, what did you do?
Uh-huh, because he knew he did something. He knows the history of the Winchesters.
Yeah. Dean doesn't tell him, though. Sam asks a couple times. He doesn't push it because he knows Dean did something, but he just says to Sam, I knew you weren't dead. I knew. I'm like, no, you
yeah.
didn't. Anyway. Like I said, I could have used a little bit more comfort out of that, you know? I mean, I got it earlier when Dean is so traumatized and having terrible angst and despair over thinking Sam was dead and all that. But I don't know. We haven't had a Winchester hug, and somebody had counted the days. And what was it, like 700 days? And that's probably 800 days. That's a long time.
Yeah, it really is.
We could use one. Anyway, what else about this episode? Any other thoughts, possibilities?
Dean was wearing what I call
maybe not.
His spike. Dean was wearing what I call his spike outfit: the black t-shirt, red shirt, and black jacket. It reminds me so much of Spike on Buffy. I was like, "Hey, he's wearing the spike outfit."
Yeah. I love Jensen in that shade of red. It's a dark red. He looks really good in it. It's also the Demon Dean shirt. But yeah. He looks great. Poor Sam, he spent most of the episode wearing blood. and bandaging himself. I still can't get over that. Here, Sam, bandage your own shot stomach. Oh, my God. This is another really, really cool scene, I thought. Dean goes out to build the litter to carry Sam, and he's obviously very scared and he's frustrated, and nothing goes right, of course, when you need it to, something like that, and he's flinging the logs around, and then something like falls on him and he just flings it aside and like, get off me, you know?
Yes.
And it's kind of funny, but that's exactly what happens, you know? You like, If things were normal, like, he could have made that litter in 2 minutes, you know, but because he was so upset and frustrated and in a hurry, nothing was working. And that's exactly what happens. You know, it falls on you or something falls down and you just kind of fling it. You get mad and you talk to it because an inanimate object isn't out to get you. It just feels that way.
Right.
When you're in a hurry. So I thought that was a really, really well-played scene. I liked it. Yeah. Do you have any other?
I was just going to say that it was an all-around really good episode. You know, not as good as last week's, of course, because it didn't have Bobby and Rufus in it, but it was still really good. And I enjoyed it. Really well acted, well directed. I loved all of this, you know, scenes in the forest, especially, you know, the daylight scenes, because you can see better, but it's just really, really pretty, and it's just a really good episode, kept us on the edge of our seats, and I'm looking forward to next week, because I'm wondering if, we're getting down towards the end now, and I'm wondering if next week might be the last week of Cassifer, I'm wondering. you know, I'm wondering if, you know, Castiel is able to fight off, you know, finally,
mm-hmm.
if he finally tells Lucifer no, you know, if Sam and Dean talk him in, you know, into letting him go. I'm really getting, you know, I'm thinking that might happen next
mm-hmm.
week. I'm not spoiled at all. That's just not spoilers at all. It's just my
yeah.
own theory from the name of the episode. And, you know, I'm just wondering
mm-hmm.
if that's what it means.
It could.
And,
I mean, I'm not spoiled either. I honestly don't know. I don't know if first book going to keep. So you don't think Cass is going to stay Cassover through the end of the season? Like, that'll be like one more thing to happen in the season finale. Like, it'll come like one more bad thing. You think we'll get Cass back as Castiel after this episode? He won't last till the end. That problem won't last till the end of the season. You could be right, because I don't know what else is going on. Well, he hasn't actually tried to beat the darkness yet. Right, because
supposedly,
that's why Cass lets Lucifer in. He says, you can beat her, and he says, yeah. So if it's supposed to figure into dealing with Amara, maybe it would go longer.
I don't either. We do, after... this week, after this coming episode, Hell's Angel, we are on hiatus for at least 2 weeks. April 13th, they're re-showing The Vessel, and April 20th, they're re-showing Beyond the Mat. And, you know, don't panic. They do it every year just so
mm-hmm.
they can show, you know, the last, you know, four episodes or so in a row without a break. It's the usual thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, we have six more episodes, so Hell's Angel will leave us with five. So they should run the last five if they come back the end of April 27th, and then their
mm-hmm.
finale's, what, 25th? Yeah, that's
May
about
25th.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that would make it like five straight weeks. So five episodes. So yeah, that makes sense. It's nice to have that the last few. So it's not such a bad break. Nobody worry about it. And I noticed the ratings aren't super high this past couple weeks, and they always seem to take a little dip in March this time for who knows what reason, but it's kind of an annual thing. So don't worry. They're fine.
We're already renewed for next year, so we're all good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, already renewed, and I think everybody's ratings tend to dip a little bit in March. Some kind of weird thing. I forgot the explanation, but it's like other stuff going on. Or
I think it finally,
March,
you know, there's
the basketball,
basketball, warm weather finally after winter, and so.
Well, there's some areas of the country that are like, winter. Yes, we're still having winter. You know, so, yeah, but you know. I live in Florida, and it was 90 degrees today. It was way too hot. Way too hot. Blech. It's not supposed to be 90 until July. Anyway.
I'm in Kentucky. We were still in the 50s and 60s, so.
That sounds nice. Some people online were asking why Dean didn't do CPR on dead Sam, Cody Fingers, dead Sam. You know?
Well, he did check for a pulse.
Yeah, but you can kind of jumpstart that, you know, especially if it's just happened.
Yeah.
So it is kind of, but, you know, there was a lot of other stuff going on.
I know.
Corbin got in there, so.
I can tell you exactly why Dean didn't do CPR on him. It's because it wasn't in the script.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also that, like, TV medicine magic, you know. It's like, nope, whoops,
right.
We can't have CPR here. We can't be logical. Never mind. that, and I love how at the end, we said it before, Sam's like, oh, yeah, some blood and some antibiotics, and I'll be fine in a week. I'm like, what?
Oh, no. It reminds me.
On X-Files, a course of antivirals will solve anything. It'll cure anything, course of antivirals. And
yep.
So, yeah. Russ and I always, you know, we just, you know, to this day, it's like, we just need a course of antivirals and I'll be good.
I always quote House when they can't figure out a medical condition, because on there it was, they would always say it's lupus, and it was never lupus. I say, well, it's never lupus. I always say.
Right.
Yeah. Never lupus. And they actually said it on the show one time. It's funny. And even Dean bounces back very quickly, because he doesn't look anything like someone who has broken ribs and a concussion and who was having convulsions just 5 minutes before. So.
No.
Caller back. Do you think he remembered something?
Maybe. Bring him on.
Let's try
bring him back.
Yeah.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hey.
How are
something?
You? Yes. Actually, I told my boss, I said, hey, look, there's this radio show on, and I really need to listen to the rest of it. So can I come in an hour later? He's like, sure. Anyway, I want to tell you, septic shock. Septic shock is the diagnosis you were looking for Sam's condition. When he got shot with that bullet, he went into septic shock, and then being asphyxiated, put him into a coma. So
that's what led up to it.
And the other thing, I forgot to tell you that I do an awesome cast.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
Well, I'll tell you what, ask me some questions, and I'll answer in his voice.
What kind of questions would we ask Castiel? How's heaven going right now? Is heaven under control?
Heaven is out of control. I'm trying to get Dean to help me get it back in, but I'm unsuccessful. Wait,
who
I'm hearing something on Angel Radio. Wait, there's something coming through on Angel Radio.
That's pretty good.
Oh, they said that they're listening to me right now.
Ooh. You're good.
Yeah. Well, thank
well
you.
Well done.
But yeah, I was just listening to that to you guys' show, and I'm like, man, I can't go to work yet. I got to listen to the rest of this. Like I said, I'm hooked. You guys are hitting all the notes.
Oh, that's thank you.
Thank you so much.
Where's your show out of?
Well, we're in different states, actually. I'm in Kentucky, and Susan is in Florida.
Oh, well, they're both better than where I am, Illinois.
Okay. Have you been to a Supernatural convention yet?
No. I've wanted to, but with my job and everything, it's always hit and miss. So,
well, they do.
I am going this year. Yep, big ball or steel, I'm going. And who knows, maybe I get cast to transport me there.
Hey, there you go.
But, yeah, the weather here is about 35, and there's about 32-mile-an-hour winds. So it's pushing about 8. Yeah, terrible.
I'm sorry you still have winter, but you can have my 90 degrees. It was too hot.
Well, I tell you what, we can maybe switch off every other weekend.
So how long have you been watching Supernatural? How long have you been watching?
Since day one's inception. I watched
Perfect.
It, and I was hooked. Everybody else was like, I'm not going to watch that show. It just looks stupid. It's not going to last, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I know the two from their previous stuff, and they got potential. I watched it, and I was hooked.
Mm.
And then you guys call him Cassifer. I call him Bruce D.L. But when he was in the cage, actually, if you think for a second back, he was actually beaten down. He had no choice but to either accept the offer or to be killed. Because he looks up at Lucifer, and you can just see it in his eyes. And that's when he says, "Can you really beat her?"
Mm.
Yes. Then yes.
I still think it was stupid.
Right.
I think it was stupid on Castiel's part, but I am enjoying it immensely. I'm really, really liking Misha's Casper impression. I'm really, really liking it. So I'm enjoying it a lot, but I think it was stupid.
Right. I enjoy it too, and I'm not a great big fan of it, but he does one hell of a job of Mark Flingle. I mean, he's got him down pat. And then, like, when he's doing the time travel, when he's going back to get the hand of God in the submarine, and he brings Dean back, and then all of a sudden, or when he's talking to Sam and getting ready to do it, and he's like, "But you're not strong enough." "Well, I'll just have to try," he says. He's like, "But one time, didn't you reach into Bobby's soul and tap his power and time travel that way?" And, see, he has time traveled before, but he says, "I've never time traveled before. Only Lucifer can do that."
Right.
Cass goes back in time and saves the Titanic in another episode. Do you remember that?
And he's taken the guys. He sent the guys, you know, he went with the guys to the 70s before.
So it's like, in retrospect, you can catch the loopholes, but when you're watching it, you don't really seem to catch it, you know? But then when you start thinking about stuff, it's like, wait a minute, now this leads to that leads to this, and I'm opening more doors. And maybe I should just start shutting them. I don't want to tear my show down.
Yeah, you can't think too hard about TV logic.
Right,
it is entertainment. But, you know, I'm glad that it's 12. I'm hoping for 20. And anything I can do to get it done, you know, I'm all for it. Trying to get groups together and start the process now before it's too late. You know, save Supernatural and start the movement now instead of when they're saying, "Hey, we're done." You know, then it's a little too late. It's kind of a moot point.
You know, it's still so wild to me, the 11th season were renewed for 12, because it just seems like yesterday that we were fighting and scraping to get, you know, second season, third season, fourth season. And it was
always terrifying waiting.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me. And now everybody's like, you know, "I can't believe that show's still on. Is it ever, you know, is it going to be on forever?" And it's like, yeah, I think it's going to outlast us all. I think it's going to be on forever.
Yeah. My friend said it's going to be on until the sun burns out. But that's okay. It's so much a part of my life. It's so weird to think of not having it.
They're extended family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I look at them.
And I honestly don't, you know, I can't imagine what life will be like when the show is, you know, not on the air, because we, you know, not only as Supernatural fans, but we also do the website and we do the podcast, and it's an everyday thing. You know, every day we're constantly working on the website. On, you know, we're constantly updating and, you know, checking for Supernatural news. And I can't imagine not having that to do. And just
it's an integral part of your day.
Yeah.
You know, and
we've
like
done
I
this
said,
podcast when, for eight years. No, well, going on nine. It's
besides. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed all that time.
Well, the good thing is you can go back and listen. So just go to our website, winchesterbros.com, and check out our comprehensive podcast list. And we've had Jensen on our podcast. We've had Jensen on. We've had Misha on, Jim Beaver, Osric. We've had lots of great guests. So you have to go back and check them out.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds awesome. And I know Jared and Jensen both got movements going on, you know, charities that they're starting up.
Right,
like
right.
The You're Not Alone and
Always Keep
what
Fighting.
Is the other one? Yes, Always Keep Fighting. You know, and they're great, but I mean, I just accidentally stumbled upon them. You know, there needs to be a little more media outlet to let this know that it's going on. So I don't know how they would do that, but, you know, if I'd known, I found out too late. If I'd have known about it, I'd have bought 100. You
right.
know, because this is going for good causes. Jensen's is for his for Down syndrome because of his niece, I believe it is, or nephew.
His nephew, Levi.
Nephew has Down syndrome. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, we've been doing fundraisers for Team Levi every year for 4 years now ourselves. Jared and Jensen sign things for us, and then we auction them with the funds going to Team Levi and the Down Syndrome Guild of Dallas.
Oh, that's cool. Well, see, I'm an Elvis tribute artist, and I also play drums in a rock band. And I was thinking about doing a show and call it Supernatural Elvis.
And cool.
In the show, I thought about buying and bringing some merchandise and then auctioning it off and then trying to find a way to get it to Jensen and Jared. You know, I just don't know how to take it from me to them.
Go to a convention. You can get it to them that way.
You know, you are not only brilliant and talented, but you're excessively brilliant. Thank you. Oh. Well, ladies, I should probably quit yanking your ear. I have enjoyed this experience immensely, and I look forward to maybe talking to you again on your next podcast.
Sounds good. Give us a call.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I definitely will. You guys got a fan for life here.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
that.
Not a problem. I'm going to put the word out about this, too, the Winchester Radio.
Hey, so, thank you.
Not a problem. I'm shouted out at every show I do. So for
we love
Supernatural fans, I'll bring them all to you.
You
thanks.
Rock.
WinchesterRose.com. Hey. We'll have the link to everything. That's all you need to shout.
Oh, okay. Well, then, I tell you what, I will direct as many people to you guys as I can.
We love it. Thanks a bunch.
And keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You too.
Till next time, ladies. You have a good night.
Thank you.
You
too. You
too.
Have a great show.
Bye-bye. You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
I walked into that one. Oh, gosh. Wow. That guy's got a lot going on there. My goodness.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
I feel bad. I didn't quite catch his name. It was a little bit hard to hear him at first. Did you catch his name? I'm sorry.
I heard it as Judd, but I think he might have said Jared because he said he's not that – he's not – he's the other Jared, he said. So I think it was Jared.
Okay.
Well, have we discussed this episode?
I think we have, among other things. Everything from The Walking Dead to Negan to the Elvis. and tribute band and The Walking Dead and Bobby, the return of Bobby, everything. I think we're good. Any news or anything else? You've mentioned that we have one more ep before the last run of the season. I can't believe we're almost at the end of the season. Wow.
I know.
Goes
so fast.
Yeah. And overall, good job, season 11. I'm enjoying you a lot. Good job.
Yes, this season has. I'm loving this season so much. It's, you know, the last few seasons have been, you know, been okay with some, you know, exceptional, some good, really good episodes here and there, but not overall, you know, they've not been any of my favorites, you know, 1 through
mm-hmm.
5, you know, the, you know, 1 through 5 and 6 even, you know, are my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is stacking up to be up there in the same caliber as 1 through 6, in my opinion. It's just,
yeah,
it's just really, really good.
I agree. Been super great, and hopefully the last few eps will match that or top it, and I have a feeling they're going to be right up there considering the guest stars.
I'm so excited. I cannot tell you how excited I am.
I'm excited for episode 20 because that seems to have really gotten Jared and Jensen going, you know,
Jared,
they've talked
about
it.
Jared
said it was like the most amazing ever, and Jensen talked about an episode where it was such an emotional scene that he asked to do his coverage first, and then even when the scene was over, like, he couldn't stop. And that, after 11 seasons, wow, for him to have a scene like that. So I can't wait. Yeah.
I cannot wait.
I know.
Cannot wait.
I love it. Me too. I love it. Okay. No other news or any announcements or anything like that? I think we covered the episode.
I can't think of any other news that we need to talk about. I think we've got it all covered.
Okay. We're gonna wrap this baby up. There's thank you to our callers tonight. We appreciate it. Hearing your theories and trying to get through the questions. Again, great ep. Robert Behrens and Andrew Dobb, the writers, and Nina Lopez Corrado. Yes, great job directing. Come back again. That's it. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening. And see you next week. Here come the boys.
Hey, I'm Jared Padalecki.
And this is Jensen Ackles.
And you're listening to Winchester Radio.